brought to you by the WZIP Sports Team.
This is Sports Power Talk Overtime.
Featuring in-depth interviews.
Someone brings a video up and was like, hey, look at this. And we all kind of watch it. And to be honest with you, we all just kind of like chuckled and just thought nothing of it.
Exclusive original content.
They do need Austin.
Every brand needs Austin. That's why SmackDown won. That's why SmackDown won. Oh, is because yeah. They got Austin Theory.
And of course, the hottest takes.
Kings Celtics.
Okay.
If we see Kings Sixers, I'll sell my dog.
Man, you heard it here first. Mitch Bates is going to sell his dog.
So get ready because it's time for SPT Overtime.
What is going on, SPT listeners from near and far in WZIP Fanatics? My name is Logan Congrove. I am your host for this episode of SPT Overtime. And joining me today is Hannah Justice from the University of Akron's dance team. Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time to come up here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you back. The listeners don't understand the circumstances of that, but I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for taking time out of your day once again off of essentially my error. So thank you so much for coming back up.
No
I appreciate
problem.
It. So let's jump right into it, Hannah. What is competitive dance and how does it differ from a regular dance class?
So I've done competitive dance all my life, and I started out in recreational for about 3 to 4 years, and I just realized that I wanted something more. I wanted to compete. I wanted to win. I wanted to be like the girls on Dance Moms that would win crowns, and I wanted to make those dreams come true. So I started working really hard, and my studio really groomed me to become the person I am today. We'd go to competitions every weekend for months on end from January to May, and then we'd go and compete in the summer at the end of June, early July at a national competition. And it was amazing always seeing all these studios from around the country and all these different dancers. And I met so many new people and competing against them. And it was just really fun time.
Before we even dive into more about competitive dance, let's talk about you as a dancer. Talk about how you started out. Where did you get your start in the world of dance?
Okay, so when I was younger, my mom always said that I would just be dancing around, and she thought it would be a really cute idea to put me in dance classes. She was a gymnast and a cheerleader, and I did a little bit of gymnastics when I was younger, and it wasn't really my strong suit, but I also did dance with it, and both of the gymnastics and dance studios and gyms, they asked me if I wanted to be a part of their competition team, and I went back and forth, and then I decided to go with dance, and wow, that was a great decision on my part. I don't know what I would have done if I would have done gymnastics like my mom, but yeah, that's pretty much how I got my start. Started off recreationally, and then they thought I was doing really well, and they wanted me to join their competition team, so that's what I did.
Talk about some of the different styles of dance that you've gotten to do. I'm sure you've participated in pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
How do each style differ? What have you done personally?
So I have done just about everything aside from ballroom. I've done lyrical, contemporary, jazz, tap, hip hop, ballet, modern. I've done pretty much all of it. Tap's really fun. I know, you know, I don't really get to do it in college anymore, but I used to be pretty good at it. I loved doing that. Lyrical and contemporary, that's my home. That's where I feel the best. Really like emotional pieces. That's what all my solos were. Loved our group dances at Bourne Academy Dance that we did that were lyrical and contemporary. Jazz, I loved a lot too. Really high energy. We do a lot of that here at Akron, mostly for our halftime dances. And hip hop used to not be my strong suit. I used to be kind of awkward and kind of uncomfortable with it. But as I worked at it over the years, I definitely feel like I've gotten a lot better. I can attribute a lot of my success in hip-hop to Hoban Dance Team. Destiny Vaughn, my hip-hop coach there, she's incredible, and she really taught me how to like feel comfortable in my own skin with hip-hop, and we do a lot of it now as well. It's even featured in our nationals routine this year for Akron, so I'm really excited to show that. Ballet, Miss Jean at Bourne Academy of Dance taught me everything I need to know about ballet, you know, because that's the foundation with technique. And it was never really anybody's favorite, but she made me love it. She was just an awesome teacher. So shout out Miss Jean. Yeah, I've pretty much done it all with dance styles. Yeah.
Bourne Academy of Dance, obviously a huge influence for you in your dance career. Talk about Bourne Academy, what it has meant to you. What are some key things that you've learned from Bourne Academy of Dance?
Wow. Where do I begin? Okay. Bourne Academy of Dance was my home for about 16 years. I started there when I was about 2, and they absolutely raised me, my second family. My coaches and my teachers and all the people there influenced me, not only as a dancer, but also as a human being. They taught me how to be humble, but how to be gritty and how to work hard and how to push through really, really tough things. And I just had such an amazing time there. We won so many national championships. I lost count. We traveled everywhere. I made amazing friends. We did amazing things. We inspired a lot of people. We always had people coming up to us at competitions saying how amazing our pieces were and how great our ideas were and just everything. And I owe it all to my teachers. All my awards and successes I totally owe to Jamie Weisel, Megan Brosey, Lauren Beard, Brant Laverick, Jean Mahaffey. Who am I forgetting? Just so many people. Missy Sturzbach, all of them. I owe all of it to you guys.
So obviously you said you've been there for 16 years.
Yes.
Talk about what type of commitment it takes to become a strong dancer, whether it's competitive or just recreational. What is the level of commitment like to be a great dancer?
So obviously for recreational, I did that when I was younger, and that was just a couple classes a week. We'd put a few recital dances on at the end of the year for just our parents. But competitively, it's a whole different ball game. They let me know when I was about to start competition that I was not going to have a lot of time on my hands. I was probably going to have to give up a lot of like after school activities like clubs or going on like cool field trips and stuff. I'd probably have to give that up just because it does take a lot of time. Sure. I remember being there right after school and until I went to bed at night, pretty much 3 to 9, 3 to 4 times a week for, you know, probably like 12 years. So it was a long, long time, and it's a lot of commitment. You got to learn how to put those hours in, and, you know, time management is huge. I just remember coming home, and by the time I got home, it was like 10:30. I'd have to do homework. I'd have to stay up. I remember in high school, sometimes I wouldn't get to bed until 3 in the morning doing homework, and then I'd have to wake up and do it all over again. So it's definitely huge. You have to give up a lot of weekends for competitions. Can't really be out late at night because you got to get sleep for practice. You got to gear up for those competitions. And yeah, it's definitely a lot. It's a lot on the mind and the body.
Talk about a typical dance competition, whether it's a solo or whatever it is that you're working on at the lower level, at the high school level. Talk about what a typical dance competition entails.
Sure. So I typically did 2 solos. I did a duet or a trio, and then I did about 13 group dances. And those group dances ranged from small groups, large groups. We did a tap. We did a bunch of lyrical. We did a couple jazz. So we did those. So I would say I'd be in about 15, 16 numbers, and we'd go to competitions 2 to 3 days long on a weekend. We went to Columbus a lot. We went to Pittsburgh a lot, just around the area. We even went to like Detroit and just like places around here. Go there, compete them, and all of like the surrounding local studios would go. And obviously there's a ton of different competitions. My favorite to this day are Showstopper, Next Star, Revolution. What am I forgetting? Star Power, there's so many. There really are so many. Star Dance Alliance is probably the biggest competition corporation, but we'd go there and compete against all the local studios there.
Stole my next question. I was going to ask what your favorite was. So I'll switch it up a little bit. If you could pinpoint a favorite routine that you ever did at any point, what would it be?
Oh, man. The funny thing is, I was just talking about this with my mom the other day. We were going through all of like my old dances, my costumes, all the old music. Wow. I would definitely say that, I mean, I loved all my solos. I loved doing solos on stage, even though like they gave me a lot of anxiety. Like, I'm going to be real. Like, they did give me a lot of anxiety because I am a perfectionist, and I'd put a lot of pressure on myself to be perfect and as best as I could. And so that definitely was fun for me to do solos. But favorite group routine, I'd have to say my senior year, we did a Hamilton themed, like the musical. We did a Hamilton themed routine called I Hope You Burn. And I was Eliza, and all the other girls were Angelica and Peggy, I think is her name.
You got it.
So we played out that story, and that was really special. I wore a white dress and everyone else wore pink, and it was like really emotional for me. And I think that was the last number I did on stage as a high school dancer at Bourne Academy of Dance. So that dance really resonated with me just because it I mean, I would claim it as mine. Yeah. So that one really sticks out to me. But probably my junior year solo called Incomplete, where I won Miss Dance America with, that's a very close second.
What's it like preparing for those routines, whether it's a solo, a duo, a trio? How do you personally prepare and how long does it take?
So I would say we start in late August, early September, learning all these routines, and we try to get them done, all of them done before Christmas break. I remember Bourne would usually take 120 some routines to a competition. So that's
Impressive.
A lot. Yeah, that's a lot to finish before Christmas break. But I would typically finish my solo maybe in like 2 months or so. I remember being done with them by like Thanksgiving break, and each week we'd just add on more and more choreography, practice it a little bit more in between. And that also comes with putting in time at home as well. I have a dance studio in my basement, so I would go and practice there as well. As far as group routines, some group routines take so long to get done because they're just, the music is hard to articulate. We want to find the best thing, the best theme, the best song, everything. But some of them come together so seamlessly and perfectly. I remember learning a group dance. I think, God, I was young, but I think we learned it in like 2 hours. And then it was done, and all we had to do was just keep practicing it. So definitely some come together really easy, and some are a lot more intricate.
Getting into the team aspect of things, as it's kind of the theme of the whole podcast, what is it like camaraderie-wise on a dance team? How do you guys bond and make it fun for each other?
It's really like no other bond because we're always together, especially here at Akron. I live with my teammates. I do homework with my teammates. I eat with my teammates. I study with my teammates. I go to class with my teammates. I go to practice. I mean, we do absolutely everything together. It really is truly a bond, like no other. Especially this year. And even last time I came on here, you know, I talked about the team, but really, like, since we're now getting into national season, I have never seen such a bond and such a close-knit group. Everyone supports each other. Everyone is there for each other. There is no cattiness. There is no jealousy. There is no trying to outdo each other. Everyone is so supportive and uplifting. And I am so thankful and excited to show everyone what we've done this year in Daytona, because it is just a whole different ballgame from last year. It truly is amazing. I don't want to be with any other people other than my teammates, really. They're just the best. And yeah, it's an awesome team culture.
Before we transition into Akron Dance, you did bring up Hoban earlier. Yeah. Talk about how Hoban Dance Team prepared you to be a college dancer.
Oh yeah. So Hoban Dance Team definitely prepared me to be a college dancer, because we would compete at the OASSA state championships. And that was a huge, huge deal. We won 3 titles in 2 years with my time on the team. And that was awesome. We'd compete a small jazz number and a large hip hop number. And during the COVID year, actually, we competed virtually, but we still won those 2 titles in small jazz and small hip hop. I would definitely just say my coaches there, they definitely just pushed me to my limit. They got me in really good shape. We had some really tough practices there getting ready. A lot of good schools in the Ohio region, Northeast region. So we had to beat them out, and thank God we did. But yeah, it was a great time on that team. I owe it all to Brooke and Aaron and Destiny there. Yeah.
What did being on the Hoban Dance Team entail? What did you get to do competitively on the field, on the court? What was it like?
So we would just do halftime routines. I personally just did basketball season, because I actually cheered for football season. So I did 2 sports at Hoban. So I just decided I wanted to do basketball because I really loved the crowd. It attracted a lot of people at those basketball games, because we were really good. So loved doing that. So after the basketball seasons had ended, or even while it was still going on, we'd put together our state routines, and we'd go and compete them at a regionals and then a state final. And that's pretty much it. Just a bunch of halftime routines and lots of outside practice. And yeah, just after school stuff.
Talk about the state routine. What went into preparing for that? And then talk about states as a whole. What was that experience like for you?
So preparing for the states routine, pretty much the same thing as what we do at Bourne. We'd go to practice after school. And I remember oh gosh, this was actually, this was crazy. Sophomore and junior year was absolutely crazy with practices, because I would, right after school, I'd go straight to Studio West in Fairlawn, and we'd practice there, I think, from 3:30 to 5:30. Then I'd go straight to Bourne at 6 to 10 or whatever it was. So that was definitely crazy, going from one studio to another. I'd do that probably 3 times a week. And then coming home and having to do homework and still thinking about dance. That was wild. And that definitely prepared me for state and competitions. And states was crazy. It's probably one of the largest crowds I've performed in front of, because it's basically the whole state of Ohio sitting in front of you.
Wow.
Anyone and everyone that dances on a high school dance team in Ohio is at that competition. So, and they bring their families, and it is a huge, huge, huge crowd. It was definitely one of the most nervous times I've been performing, because I really wanted to win. I really wanted to show off. They had a lot of impressive judges on the panel. So that was really cool. And it meant a lot to me, because actually this year I got to judge the OASSA State Championships for dance. So that was awesome, being on that panel. That meant a lot. It was really cool stepping out of, you know, not being in costume, not going on stage, but actually getting to watch all of the amazing talent. Yeah, that was really cool and kind of a full circle moment for me.
What was that experience like for you? How is it different judging from being on stage? What do you use from your experience to judge?
It has always been such a big dream of mine to judge. Ever since I was younger, when I was performing for the judges, I just think, what are they thinking right now? Like, I want to judge someday.
Sure.
So that was something I always wanted to do. I've just really had the most amazing teachers teach me all I need to know about dance, all the technique, all the cool dynamics, and, you know, everything that goes into judging. And I think I was pretty good at it. So that was such an awesome experience. It was really cool because I'm so young, and all of the other judges on the panel were all these qualified choreographers.
Sure.
And everything. And, you know, the coordinator, Trisha Hart, asked my coach to bring a dancer on from Akron. And I, of course, volunteered first. I was like,
yeah,
hell yeah, let me get on there. Like, I was so excited. So that was really, really cool.
What did you take away from some of the other judges? You mentioned that some of them were overly experienced. Did you get any advice from them? Did you bring anything back to the University of Akron that you didn't know already?
They were definitely just, they spoke very professionally. They knew what they were doing. They were dressed very sophisticatedly. I sat next to them and I would look at their notes and see what they were writing down on the sheets. And they just gave such qualified comments, such like great feedback. And I would definitely use what they said and kind of incorporate it into my comments too. They talked a lot about, you know, switching the dynamics of the dance, when to be sharp and when to be smooth. I thought that was really cool. And I can definitely bring that back to Akron. Absolutely. I'm always talking about switching up the dynamics in the dance just to make it a little bit more powerful. Yeah, for sure.
Did it make you feel a bit more professional coming away from it, learning a lot from them?
Oh, for sure. I definitely felt like, I mean, I felt like I belonged there just because, you know, dance is my whole life.
For sure.
And I definitely felt like I fit right in. But it was just kind of like, wow, like I really am sitting here. I was on this stage. I was on this floor like 3 years ago, and I never really thought I'd be able to have an opportunity like this. So it was eye-opening, definitely.
When you were judging, what were some of the comments that you gave to some of the dancers you saw?
A lot of them this year were, wow, amazing, keep doing what you're doing, keep up the hard work. I really had never seen such amazing things come from Ohio. You know, I always knew that dance teams in Ohio were good. And even when I competed, they were awesome, but they are insane now. Like, I don't know what these kids are eating, where they're growing up, who is parenting them, but these kids were absolutely insane. Shout out Lake Dance Team. I gotta give you guys a shout out. Amazing, amazing, amazing. A lot of Lake Dance Team is Bourne dancers. They all come from Bourne. So amazing and soul inspired. Shout out Sarah Logan. Amazing. Yeah.
So heading into college, talk about the audition process for the University of Akron. How did you find UADT?
Sure. So both of my parents, my mom and my dad, went to the University of Akron. And I kind of had this idea in my mind that I didn't really want to go to the same place as them. But it wasn't until my mom sent me a video of the Akron dance team doing their little hype video before their nationals in 2022 that I was like, wow, they look amazing. And I've realized over the past couple years that I am truly a homebody girl at heart.
Sure.
There's no place like home for me. I could be in Disney World and I still say I miss Akron. I miss Ohio. I really am just an Ohio girl. And I love the fact that I'm sticking to my roots and being close to home and family. That was always such a big, that was a big factor in choosing my college. And it was just cool having both my parents go here. They kind of showed me like the way around campus and everything. And yeah, the dance team really, really sealed it for me. As soon as I walked into auditions, it was just a one day audition. I remember coming into the jar, really, really nervous. And all these amazing girls just welcomed me with like the biggest smiles and hugs. And when I made the team, they were just so, so excited for me. And I was like a stranger. So that was really cool to just be welcomed in with such open arms. And especially the coaching staff, which we actually got a new coach this year, but coach last year was just as awesome. So, yeah.
How do you use social media to your advantage when finding different dance teams? Did that help you at all coming into your process? I know you mentioned seeing their hype video.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You mentioned to me previously that it's a big deal to be able to reach out to people on whether it's DM or messaging them, however.
Yeah.
How does social media play a factor into today's world?
So social media is huge for getting recruited and, you know, finding out information about dance teams. I would post videos of me doing turns to try to impress the coaches. I would tag them. I would tag the dance team. And I, last year, I actually had some of our rookies now DM me and ask me questions about auditions. What should I prepare? What are the coaches looking for? What's the team like? You know, what's your mate? They'd even ask me like what my major is to like, you know, just get an insight and everything. Mm-hmm. So social media is definitely huge. And if I wouldn't have seen that hype video from Akron, I really don't know, like, I don't know what I would be doing now because I'd probably still have that idea of like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to the same place my parents did.
Sure.
But, you know, seeing that, it really opened my eyes. I was like, wow, I really need to give this a shot. And it immediately felt like a family when I walked in. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm going here. So, yeah.
What was the audition process like when you did end up getting here?
So audition process, like I said, was just one morning and we'd come in and I remember I think I had to learn like our fight song. I had to learn like a little dance and we'd perform it in front of the panel of judges. It was like alumni and our present coaches. And we'd do that and we'd do some across the floor stuff to check out our technique, our leaps, our jumps. You know, just our transitions through the floor, how well we can straighten our legs and point our feet, what our port-a-bras looks like, you know, how our confidence is. And we'd also have like an interview portion where they'd ask us a couple questions. I think they asked me like, why did you choose the University of Akron? That's clear. and the second question I think they asked me was, what do you think that you will contribute to the team? And I, of course, answered that I think I'm a natural born leader. I think I always have been that way, whether I was dancing with 18-year-olds when I was 13 or 14 or, you know, even being like older and having little kids look up to me. I feel like I've always just wanted to be a leader and wanted to inspire others. So
what was your level of confidence coming out of your audition that day?
I was very confident. I did really, really well, and I work really well under pressure. I've been in a lot of circumstances where I've had to work under pressure, a lot of people watching me, you know, huge stakes, you know, going into from semifinals to finals. We're in second place, and we need to do so well that we move up to first place. I've been in a lot of situations like that. So definitely, you know, my past has prepared me to feel really well after an audition.
So you finally make the team, you're on the roster. Who are some of the people that you connected with first? Maybe some of your older leaders. You mentioned now that you feel as though you're a leader. Who were your early leaders when you came into the program?
Definitely. I found my home within my group of friends. I still call us the rookies, even though we're sophomores now. Ainsley, Carly, Mariah, and eventually Coco came in as well. They were definitely my home. And I also connected really well with three of the seniors, Katya, Meredith, and Brittany. They were definitely just such amazing girls. They were also inspiring to me. And they would always just say, you know, they would tell me I'm doing a great job, and they just immediately welcomed me. I remember I was taking pictures with them on like the first day that we were like together as a team, and they were like not strangers, but I mean they were kind of strangers. Sure. They were people that I had just met, so, and I had never really had that experience before with girls growing up, so that was really awesome. Yeah, I definitely look up to them a lot, and specifically Brittany, she's a registered nurse now, and she is everything that I want to be. Just such a caring, amazing human being, wants to help others, wants to lift like people up, so I definitely want to emulate her.
What are some key things that you took away from them? You said you want to emulate her. What are those qualities that you want to bring for yourself?
Just keeping up my hard work, because I feel like I've always been a hard worker. I've never really had to be like, work harder, you know, you're slacking. Mm-hmm. I've never really felt that way. I've never been like a lazy person. I've always wanted to go to practice. You know, there are some days where it's harder than others, but especially during our work week last year where we have 2 days, which is actually coming up in a couple weeks, they would just always say, this is going to be one of the hardest things that you do mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. Preparing for nationals is definitely a mental struggle more than it is a physical struggle, because the dances are super, super hard. And, you know, when we have to do them over and over to perfect them and get them consistent, it can weigh on your mind and you can start to think, I don't know if I can handle this. My body hurts so bad. I'm on day four. It's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night and, you know, it's spring break and all my friends are in Florida. Like I'm so stressed out that I'm here, but they really calmed me down and grounded me and made me remember why I'm doing this. So
what does a typical training session look like for UADT? What, not necessarily on the national side of things, mm-hmm. for like a game day routine, what is it that you guys do to prepare?
So for a game day routine, for example, this year I made up a routine with another one of my best friends on the team, Braylon. We made a routine for a basketball season, and that was super fun. We'd get together and we'd just put together a really cool routine, and then we'd go into practice the next day, go and teach it to everybody. And then after we'd learn it, we'd run it a couple times, and then we go into the cleaning process. And this is something my new coach, Lauren Hesley, is super adamant about, cleaning. We go through every single move and every count from start to finish to make sure we all look the exact same. Wow. And she will not let us stop until it is completely right. She will have us do it over and over and over and over and over again until it's good enough for her. So she definitely has pushed me to be a little bit more nitty gritty and look at those like in between details, because those things really do matter. And it was something last year that we didn't really focus on as much. I think we were just really focused on like the performance aspect and us like, you know, really like crowd appeal more so, but now we're really focusing on that cleanliness and just looking as one and not like 18 different solo dancers out there. So
let's go through the motions a little bit for all the things that UADT gets to do, starting with football. What is a typical game day experience like for football from the second you get up and get ready to go to the end of the game?
So noon games are not as fun as night games, because we have to be there 3 to 4 hours early to tailgate. We have to space our dance on the field with the little tick marks. So we perform usually at the 10-yard line. And so we have to get up real early, go down there, space our routine to make sure it looks seamless. And we go and tailgate with fans. Sometimes we take a lot of pictures with fans, a lot of pictures with each other, because we look so cute in our uniforms, you know. So that, and then we go in the locker room and we stretch, and then it's game time. So we go down and we do our big pregame. It's like a 12-minute band show, and we have choreographed steps for 12 minutes straight. It's definitely one of the most strenuous and rough things that we do. Takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. I remember just being so out of breath when I'm done. My arms are burning because we're shaking our palms so much, but it's really exciting. Football was really cool this year. When we won Kent, that was absolutely insane. I just remember throwing down my palms and just being so excited. That was definitely my favorite moment from football this year.
You know, the roster is pretty big for UADT.
Yeah.
Do all of you work every single game, or is there a scheduling aspect of it?
Yeah, so for football, we all do the games. But for basketball, we're only allowed 12 dancers on the court just for, you know, spatial reasons. So we actually are split up into three teams, gold, blue, and white. I was Navy. Yeah, Navy. Gold, Navy, and white. I was going to say, I'm not on blue. I'm on Navy. So I was on the Navy team, and we're split up into six people per team, and we'll just do rotations. So Navy and gold will go. Navy and white will go. White and gold will go. So it'll just rotate each game. And we do men's and women's basketball. Shout out the ladies. It's National Women's Day today, or international. Shout out the women. Love y'all. That's super fun. So, yeah, we rotate. And because there's a lot of basketball games, I found myself doing back-to-back games. I did a few doubleheaders, and we're heading into MAC next week, mm-hmm. where we actually get to bring 15 dancers, which is cool that more awesome. Of us get to do it. So all of our seniors are there, which is awesome. And I'm getting to do all the games. So that's really exciting. That's awesome. As well.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the women's basketball team. That was actually my next question. There's not a lot of dance teams that do their women's games. What's that experience like for you guys? And how do you guys feel the support from the women's basketball team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love the women's basketball team. I love watching them. It's just so cool that, you know, I'm a woman, so I know the struggle of being a woman. And I know what it feels like to not be as supported as men. You know, you get the huge, huge crowd for the men's games. They got the bleachers down. And then when you go to a women's game, there's not as many people, but you still feel the love and support from the people that do show up. And it is really cool, you know, seeing their hype video, getting to cheer them on. And I have a lot of respect for them because they work so hard. And it's really cool that we get the opportunity to support them, because it is just as important to show up for the women as it is for the men.
Absolutely. What is a typical basketball game day experience like from start to finish, men's or women's?
Okay, so I'll do men's just because that's what we're about to do next week. So men's basketball game, I'll get home from class, I'll get ready, and we get to the jar an hour before tip off, and we'll warm up in the locker room, we'll go over our dance, and we get to do some little pregame stuff on the side. The band is always there playing their little ditties, and it's really fun. And then they run out, which is super fun also. And then we get to go out for starting five, which is so cool because they always play this cool video. And, you know, all the basketball players do the little dance and stuff up on the screen, which is fun. And now we actually perform during third quarter timeout instead of a halftime. They've been bringing in a lot of cool halftime shows recently. So we get to perform there, and it's always fun when the Zips win. We get to do alma mater, and yeah, it's always fun celebrating with the team after.
Talk about the men's Kent game. Obviously, a huge crowd. What's it like performing in an environment like that?
Like no other. Definitely probably the largest crowd I've ever performed in front of. The nerves that I feel before that are absolutely crazy. It's not because I'm not confident in me or the team. It's just because there are so many pairs of eyes watching you. And it's a sea of white. It's a huge whiteout. And we actually got our girl Zippy to dance with us this year, just like she did last year, which was absolutely awesome. She did so well. And she did even more than we asked her to. She was absolutely exceptional. So it was awesome. The crowd absolutely went wild when she came out. And when we're done, you just hear it, like the crowd literally roars and it pierces your ears. It's crazy. So that was a really cool experience. I always tell everyone that that's the game that I'm most excited for. And I tell the rookies coming in, like, you really don't know until you're out on the floor what it feels like.
How did that experience, you know, hearing the crowd roar, how does that validate all of the hard work that you guys put into your craft?
Oh, it means so much because, you know, there's always kind of a big crowd that we dance in front of at a game. But Kent is really like no other because everyone from the area comes. And when we get compliments after we dance, how awesome we look, how great the choreography was, you know, how great we all look, it really means a lot because we put a lot of work in behind the scenes that I don't really feel like a lot of people see. You know, we fight for our own practice space. We're at the rec until close. You know, we're at the jar, you know, just working our butts off. And I really don't think anyone knows what really we do and what it takes to put a cool routine out like that. So when we get compliments and stuff like that, it really means a lot. It's an amazing feeling.
I told you I really wanted to touch on this one because I'm going to detail the experience. I was working media. I saw you come out for the ball toss, and there was a little kid, little baby with some headgear on, and they announced the ball toss, and I saw you immediately run over to this little kid. Give him the ball. You had the biggest smile on your face. The kid was giggling. The parents were smiling.
Yeah.
Hannah Justice loves the kiddos.
I do.
Talk about how that feels in a game to get something like that.
So whenever there's a t-shirt toss or a ball toss, I always go straight for the kids because I remember when I was younger, I would go to Cavs games and I'd see the Cavs girls go out and throw mm-hmm. t-shirts and balls. And I remember being a little girl that I wanted to be just like them. And that's actually still a dream of mine. I do want to be a Cavs dance team girl one day. But I wanted to be just like them and I wanted to make a little kid smile like that. And I do love seeing little kids at games when they're saying their little cheers and, you know, they're super loud. I remember I was actually at the women's game the other day. I danced at halftime and there was just a little kid that was like, miss it to the other team when they were throwing a foul shot. I thought that was super, super cute. So just seeing their face light up means a lot. And, you know, it's just the littlest things. You know, it's not like I was handing the kid $100, you know, it's just a little ball. I mean, really nothing, but just like getting noticed and getting recognized. Sure. If I can just make a person's day, that's all I'm really here for. So, you know, the whole point of On Dance Team is entertaining people and making people smile and, you know, that crowd appeal. So definitely that.
Before we transition into NDA, I wanted to give this kind of its own segment. You were a Miss Dance America.
Yes.
I know this meant a lot to you.
Absolutely.
Talk about that experience from start to finish. What did that mean to you?
So this was my junior year of high school summer. I was competing my solo incomplete. I had been working on it all year. And right before nationals, I thought we needed to kick it up a notch. I really wanted to add some more elements to it to make it more impressive, to make it a little bit more competitive. It was a very pretty, you know, flowy lyrical solo. I just wanted to add more powerful elements. So my dance teachers worked with me to do that, to really perfect the routine to bring to Pensacola. And it was kind of like a semifinals finals thing. So I performed my solo and did amazing. It was one of like the best times that I had ever danced in my whole life, the first time that I did it. And then they picked, I think, top 10 or top 6 dancers out of like, oh my goodness, like 250. There were so many
wow.
solos there. And each of those girls probably did 2 to 3 solos. So, I mean, when you're looking at that, the numbers are crazy. So being picked already out of that, just being recognized for that was so like touching to my heart. It really just, it really meant a lot because it kind of like meant that all of my dreams and all of my hard work came to fruition. It really... That was awesome. So I went in with about 6 other girls and they interviewed us. They made like little hype videos for us.
Wow.
And before we went on stage, they would play our videos, you know, just introducing ourselves. I think they asked us like our favorite style of dance and who inspires us the most and like a little shout out thank you before we go on stage. And that was so awesome. I remember being backstage. This was definitely the most nervous, like, it's now or never moment in my life. I remember being backstage and I was like, Hannah, it's not my last dance because I still have one more year, but this is the dance. This mm-hmm. is the one. Like, it is now or never. I remember being up against just so many amazing girls. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off because there was just so much amazing talent in the room and all of our solos were so different. And, you know, dance is very subjective. It's not really who's right and who's wrong. There's so much gray area there because it really all is, it just comes down to the judge's opinion. I'm glad they liked me, but that that was crazy. I really didn't think, I wasn't expecting it at all. And I competed and after I came off, I just remember crying. I was filled with so much relief that I had done so well. And no matter what came out of it, whether I didn't place, whether I got first runner up, third runner up, it didn't matter because I knew that when I got off stage, I was so confident and happy with what I did that the crown didn't matter. So when I went on stage and all of my friends were backstage in the wings, I could see them. I looked behind and the announcer said that first and second place were separated by a tenth of a point.
Wow.
And a tenth of a point is one of the smallest fractions in dance. You can go to hundreds, but tenths of a point are absolutely wild. That could be the point of a foot. That could be a placement of the head. I don't know. It was very,
wow.
very, very close. And when they announced second place, I knew that I had won because I was the last person that was standing on stage. and it was absolutely euphoric. I still have the video and I go back and watch it sometimes just because it's something I never, ever want to forget. Definitely one of the best moments of my entire life. It meant everything to me.
Who was there to support you in that moment?
My family, my mom, grandma, grandpa, and my whole Born Dance family. They were all there to support me. They mean absolutely everything to me.
What was going through your head when you did finally kind of realize you won? You said it was euphoric. Describe that experience.
It just felt absolutely crazy. Like, it was wild. I think about it now and I'm like, how did I do that? Like, sometimes I want to transport myself back to that moment because it was almost like I had blacked out. I didn't really realize what was going on when, because I was so expecting my name to be called for second. Like, I just thought that that's how the cards were going to be dealt. And so I was shocked. So there's still a photo of me, like, with my mouth wide open. Like, I am just in so much shock. So that was, it was just crazy. It was unbelievable. And I just remember my mom being like, you know, I have all the confidence in the world in you, but I did not think that was going to happen because, just, you know, life sucks sometimes. You know, you get second, you don't win your game. You know, you go home with your tail between your legs, you know, stuff happens. So I wasn't expecting it. So it was really cool.
What did you get from your dance team? As soon as you walked off the stage, you won the award. What were you feeling with them?
Oh gosh, so many hugs and kisses and screams. They were screaming so loud. I mean, by that point, it was like the last day of the national competition, which lasted a week. All of us had no voice left. I remember the announcer came up to me and they were like, what's your name? And I was like, Hannah Justice. Because I had no voice left because I had just been screaming all week. So, you know, and I was bawling my eyes out because it was so unexpected. I just felt so much love and support after I got off stage. Huge group hug. They were holding my trophy for me. They were making sure the huge crown didn't fall off my head. You know, the 3 foot tall crown, whatever it is. Yeah, that was such an awesome moment. I wish I could go back sometimes.
You mentioned earlier in the episode that the crown is something that you've wanted since you were a little kid.
Yeah.
How did it feel to finally have it on your head when it was placed there?
Well, I had won. I don't even know how many I have, but I have, you know, little tiaras just from winning little competitions, you know, in Columbus, Pittsburgh. But this one really meant so much to me because it was the one thing that I had wanted all my life was to win a big national title like that. And so it just felt like all my dreams had come true and everything that I had worked for kind of, you know, it was worth it. It really was worth it. All the blood, sweat, and tears. I know that's a cliche, but it really was. I went through a lot of injuries, knee surgeries, you know, being in a boot, being in a back brace. I've sustained a lot of crazy things. And just to come out of it with that meant that everything was worth it.
National is a big word that we've used a couple times in the show. So let's transition into nationals, which is NDA. Talk about what NDA is for the listeners.
What a whirlwind. Okay. So NDA stands for National Dance Alliance. It is a huge, huge corporation. They're tied with UDA, which is Universal Dance Association, and they are all under Varsity Spirit, a huge, huge company that puts on all of the college and high school all-star dance competitions. Yep. Across the country. And the big ones are the ones, UDA Nationals in Orlando, Florida, Disney at the ESPN Worldwide of Sports. And then the NDA Nationals in Daytona Beach, Florida, which is coming up in less than a month on the Daytona Beach band shell, which is awesome. I actually don't get to compete on the band shell. It's just for cheer. Sad face. but I get to compete on probably the biggest stage in college dance. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so excited.
What has your team been doing to prepare for nationals? We touched on game day preparation. What is it like preparing for nationals? You mentioned the two-a-days coming up.
Yeah.
What is your routine like this year? What, give the listeners a preview.
Sure. So we learned our routine back in October. A married couple named Troy and Marisa did it for us. They are amazing professional dancers out of Las Vegas, Nevada. I look up to them so much. They're amazing humans and they're so, so talented. And they curated such an amazing routine for us this year. And I think we have such a leg up from last year already just because of how amazing and intricate and thoughtful our choreography is. Once again, we're doing a team routine, which consists of 45 seconds of hip hop, 45 seconds of pom, and 45 seconds of jazz or lyrical. So it is crazy putting such a vastly different routine together right. with three different styles. You really got to think about moving from one style to another to not blend them together. I know my coach, Lauren, is always talking about really being distinctive with all those styles. When we start off with jazz, make it super jazzy. When we go to palm, make it super sharp and stoic and staccato. And then when we move to hip hop, really get gritty and in the ground. So it's definitely, I would say it's one of the more difficult styles and routines that we've had to put together, because you have to change your facial expressions three times. You have to change the way your body is moving three times. And you have to sustain the stamina to do that. It's a very, very tough, jam-packed routine with tons of tricks, tons of turns, you know, getting up, getting down, just a ton of different things all jumbled into one. We've been preparing so much for it. We've had so many practices lately, and we're about to start our two-a-days, and the routine is so close to being all the way clean. We've been doing it over and over. We actually just got done performing half of it at a men's basketball game and a women's basketball game for our third quarter performance. And it went really, really well. The progress that we're making this year is absolutely insane. My coach always reminds us that she doesn't want perfection. She just wants progress. She just wants us to get 10% better each time we do it. We don't want to go backwards. We want to just keep moving forward. We want to keep pushing. Once we clean something, we got to move on, because time's running out and we got to get it done. And, you know, we got to work hard and show what all we've worked on all year long in Daytona. We want to place higher than last year. We want to make it to finals, and we want to show everyone that, like, who the hell is this team? Like, where did they come from? Because last year, you know, we did well, but we just want to do even more better this year.
What categories is UADT competing in this year?
We're competing in the team, the 45 seconds of jazz, 45 seconds of palm, and 45 seconds of hip hop.
And what's the competition like at NDA? You know, you mentioned there's a lot of different good teams in Ohio.
Yeah.
So this is more of a national scale. What is it like coming into an environment like this and there's all different teams that are just as good as you guys?
Yeah. So definitely it is an insane thing to think about. You know, past seniors and, you know, coaches have told me, like, once you get off the bus in Daytona and you step off, it is like, it is a feeling like no other. You don't really know, and it's something you can't really prepare for until you are there. The second you step off the bus, you see cheer teams practicing in the front lawn of the hotel. You see them stunting. You see them tumbling. You see dance teams practicing behind the hotel near the dumpsters in the parking lot. It never stops. The craziness never stops. Once you get to Daytona, people are there to fight. They're hungry. They want to win. And it's a little bit intimidating. And I'm not really someone that gets intimidated, because, you know, I was at a very competitive, very talented studio, mm-hmm. you know, my whole life. So I wasn't really one to get intimidated. But as soon as I stepped off last year and I was seeing cheerleaders that had been on Netflix shows, and I'd been seeing, you know, people that I've been following for years. I even saw a girl that was on Dance Moms is now at JMU, and I see her mm-hmm. step off the bus, and I'm like, oh my God, like this is real. Like, this is crazy. I never really thought that I'd feel something like that. But NDA in Daytona is absolutely crazy.
When you get there, you know, rivalries are a big deal yeah. in all of sports. Mm-hmm. Are there rivalries in competitive dance, or is it more of a supportive environment around everybody?
I mean, everyone is there to win. I wouldn't really say that there's a huge rivalry for NDA. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're all just there. We all want the same thing.
Sure.
You know, it's really good to be competitive, but it's also really good to be supportive and, you know, a good sport and cheering other teams on and, you know, hyping them up and stuff. But everyone's pretty focused on themselves when they're there. We're not really focused on, like,
right.
you know, other teams. We're not really out to get anybody, out to beat anybody. We just want to put on the best performance that we can. And we want to come off stage knowing that we're so proud of what we did and all of our work was worth it.
When you're in Daytona, obviously dance is the biggest thing. But what other things do you guys get to experience as a team? What's the team bonding like when you finally get there?
So we all room together, which is really cool. And it's randomized, so we don't know who we're rooming with.
Wow.
I formed a lot of, like, really cool relationships last year with people that, you know, I was always close with everybody on the team, but I formed really different bonds, specifically with one of my best friends now, Grace. We roomed together, and it was really cool, you know, getting ready with her, walking down to the lobby with her, and, you know, her, like, getting me ready and giving me pep talks and stuff. that was really cool. Some other things we did, we do like team dinners, and that was fun. And we'd go and practice out in the parking lot. Like I said, we'd, you know, any practice time that we can get, we're going to take, because once you're there, you compete the next day. You know, you get off the bus and you compete the next day. So we want to take as much time as we can to kind of go over everything that we need to do before we get ready to compete. And then after we dance, we're really free to do whatever we want. We get one free day when we're down there. And last year we just were on the beach at 7 a.m. and we wouldn't leave until about 5, and we'd get ready to go to team dinner again. So team bonding experience was really fun. The team bonding never really stops, because we always know how to have fun in practice. You know, if we're going to class in the library, we're always finding a way to be silly and goofy. So, yeah.
Something different for you this year is I want to extend a congratulations. You are an NDA instructor as of just a few days ago. Talk about how that came to be. What did you do to be an NDA instructor, and what does that entail for you?
This was so awesome. So back in July, all college dance teams have to go to either an NDA or a UDA camp to get them ready. They give you ribbons, and they actually give you bids, how much money that you get to go to nationals for your program. So you try and do as best you can. You go against all these other teams. You learn all these different routines and all these different things to get your bid for nationals. And so everyone has to do it. And there are these amazing dancers there that are instructors that are teaching these routines. They're giving you feedback. They're giving you guidance. Usually it would be one instructor per team. They would just be, they'd call it like your buddy for the weekend. They'd give you feedback. They'd give you critiques, advice, just kind of like things to make your routines better. And at the end, everyone performs those routines. So it was cool kind of having that person there that was kind of riding or dying with us, you know, giving us all these cool critiques and feedback and stuff to make our routines better. And I actually was recruited with me and my friend Coco. They had called us over and was like, we think you'd be really great as an NDA instructor.
Awesome.
Let's get your, you know, your contact info, and we'll keep in touch with you. So that was back in July. So we had just been awaiting this audition process. They finally, the auditions, I think, opened. We had to submit a video. It opened in like October, and we had until January to submit it. So Coco and I, we waited a while because our season is just crazy. We couldn't find time to go and film the videos and submit them. So we waited until winter break to go and do all that. And then we submitted our videos and just hoped for the best. And we got the email the other day at a basketball game during halftime. So that was really cool. The team was really happy for us, and I'm so excited to start this new journey.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to learn from it to bring back to UADT or even for yourself?
I really just want to inspire people. I've always loved the aspect of teaching and, you know, just having people look up to me. So if I can just give people pointers and like give them confidence and make them feel good about themselves and just make them a better dancer and maybe even inspire them as a human, you know, just make their day, that would mean a lot to me. I can't wait to travel. I can't wait to meet new people. You get to travel like everywhere across the country. So I'll be doing this summer, and there's so many cool camp locations. I'm just hoping to meet a lot of new people and make a lot of cool connections and close relationships.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Couple more taxing questions for you before we get ready to close out. Diving into the issue of, is competitive dance a sport? Starting off with right here at the University of Akron, I caught wind that you guys mostly pay for your own stuff. What do you guys have to do differently to fundraise, and how does that go into your preparation and what you guys are looking to do?
So fundraising is huge for us. And we also have a great, we have great families and great parents.
Sure.
That they put a lot of cool things for us together. They find fundraising opportunities. They give us huge gift baskets before we go to nationals filled with practice wear and, you know, little things that we're going to need on the trip to nationals. So that's awesome. Our coaches are amazing this year. They really push for us. They try to open those doors for us so we get those cool opportunities, you know, with new uniforms and, you know, performance opportunities and different things like that. It's definitely different from other sports that I've seen. A lot of people think that we are financially supported by the university. You know, we get a few things and a few cool things, but we mostly have to do it all. We have to find our practice space. We have to, you know, get our own uniforms approved. We have to do a lot of things, and we have to get ourselves to nationals, most importantly. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of money. I don't exactly know the cost, but we've had to fundraise for months, you know, just going to different events and pretty much asking for money. And Day of Giving, and that's huge for us too. Day of Giving is massive for our program. Yeah, it's a lot of work, and I don't think a lot of people know that we actually do have to put in a lot of hard work for us getting to nationals, because if it wasn't for like our parents and the fundraising stuff we do, we quite frankly would not make it. So yeah, it's a lot, but I mean it's worth it. Even though we're not considered a sport under NCAA, that's okay, because you know, we still get to do what we love. We still get to make people happy, and we still get to travel to Daytona and, you know, show our hard work off there. And even if we're not as lucky as the other sports, we still get the same reactions from the crowd, and people still love us. And that's all that really matters to me. So
if there's a listener looking to support UADT in any way, whether it's financially or just being good to you guys, watching you guys perform, where can they do that?
So first, you can start by following us on Instagram at @uakrondance, because social media is super important. We want to get that following up and, you know, get that outreach, get people to know who we are. Tell your friends. If you know someone that's in dance in high school and is looking to compete in college, or, you know, just dance in college, please tell them about Akron. We're always looking for new talent and super excited to welcome some new people this year. But, you know, we got to keep this program going, so we're always looking for amazing dancers in the area. As for financially goes, Day of Giving is huge. I don't know exactly when it is this year, but that's always cool. And I know we'll be doing some type of, like, you know, those like bingo things.
Yeah.
We'll probably be doing one of those on our stories. So if you see an Akron dancer, maybe think about supporting us, because it really means the world to us, because we do it all ourselves. It's all us. So it's all internal. So yeah, that would mean a lot.
Let's turn away from UADT and talk about the sport as a whole. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there that do not consider competitive dance a sport. Tell the listeners why it is a sport. Not necessarily convinced, but give your pitch as to why it is a sport.
Like some insight. Okay. So sports go to practice, right? They practice and they put in a lot of hard hours. So does dance team. So do I. And so does the rest of my team. We go to practice 3 times a week, and we sometimes even go longer than some of the other sports on campus. We go for very long, late hours at night. Sometimes it's 7 to 10, sometimes it's 4 to 8, you know, on a regular night. We have to schedule our classes around it, and, you know, we still have homework just like everybody else. So we go to practice. We go and we compete. You know, it's not every weekend and it's not in regular games, but we're going to compete at one of the largest competitions in the nation against thousands of other teams. We go to compete just like every other sport. The only thing that I think people, like, they say that we're a support system and we're solely just a support system, but isn't that what the fans are for? They're there for the support right. system. Sure, we sit and we shake our pom-poms, but it's so much more than that. Our season never stops. We go in the fall for football. We go in the winter for women's and men's basketball. And we go in the spring for our nationals. And we go in the summer because that's training season. That's getting ready for all of the stuff that we need to do. Tell me a sport that is all four seasons and never stops. You're always talking, like, everyone's always talking about, well, in my off season, I have to eat healthy. In my off season, I can't do this or that. I don't have an off season. Like, I literally just want to say to those people, like, imagine if you didn't have an off season, how would your body and how would your mind sure. feel? And juggling school and juggling jobs and work and just juggling a social life. That's huge. And, you know, we have to put in a ton of training. We don't get to lift like every other sport does in the weight room, but we have to run miles. We have to do a weekly challenge workout. We had to do like little swollies, like 3 workouts a week last year. There's a ton of extra work that we're putting in that no one really sees. And we're just as athletic and just as talented as these, you know, I'm not discrediting other sports. You know, Akron mm-hmm. sports are awesome.
Sure.
And, you know, I love supporting them, but we're more than just a support system. We're more than just, you know, shaking our pom-poms and saying, go team. It's not just that. Like 90% of what we do is what all the people see at the games. And what the 10% that people don't see is actually the most important and the most strenuous. So I want to stress to all the people listening that, you know, you may see us at games looking pretty in our uniforms, and it might not look like we're doing that much, but I promise you, behind the scenes, we are working our absolute butts off. We are sweating. We are breaking down. We are getting ready for this big competition in April. I promise you that we are putting in just as much work as any other sports team here. And I hope one day, maybe not in my time here at college, that would be awesome, but maybe not. I just hope one day that we're recognized for it, like whether it's NCAA or the university. I just hope one day that we get that opportunity.
What would you say to any dancer at any level that's experiencing these type of critics, telling them it's not a sport? You know, obviously, high school is a big gimmick, and high school dancers probably get this a lot from their friends.
Absolutely.
But not just them, anybody at any level. What would you say to any dancer that's experiencing this type of criticism and how to combat it?
Honestly, I dealt with it a lot in high school. A lot of people would say, it's not a sport, it's an art. And I said, one thing can be two things at once. You know, dance can be an art, which it is an art. It can be beautiful and, you know, very moving and emotional, but it also is very athletic. We do things that people can't do, just like cheerleaders do things that we can't do. And cheer is just as much a sport mm-hmm. as dance is, you know, and vice versa. They do superhuman things that I can't even comprehend. And we do superhuman things that they can't even comprehend. And, you know, if we have all this shock factor and this wow factor, why isn't that enough? You know, that's something else that I wanted to dive into is that, you know, we do all these amazing things and, you know, other sports do amazing things too, but, you know, why aren't we considered a sport then if we can do all these amazing things with our right. bodies and we can, you know, make people say wow and like shock people and surprise people. I think that should be, you know, factored in the conversation. And if you're a dancer or anyone that is facing criticism, you know, discrediting your hard work, just be silent about it. There's no reason to try and prove them wrong. They're going to have that opinion and they're going to have that idea. But one day you just have to realize that you're just going to have to show them and they're just going to have to see one day. They're just going to have to see with their own eyes. And, you know, people are going to have their own opinions all the time. And you can't let that get to you because what you do and who you surround yourself with, your team, if you guys know that you're putting in the work and you're happy with what you do, that is really all that matters at the end of the day. If you're feeling discouraged, just keep working hard. Do not let it get to you because I myself have dealt with it, but I've just chosen to not listen to it because I know that for a fact, what I do is just as hard and just as athletic as other sports. And even though it's not widely recognized, I don't really care because I have gotten here with, you know, obviously with the support of my family, my coaches, mm-hmm. you know, past teachers and everything like that. But I got here because I kept pushing and I didn't let those people get to me and I didn't let the criticisms and, you know, the hard things like we're not going to give you money. We're not going to give you all this cool gear. We're not going to give you access to, you know, the ice baths. We're not going to give you access to an athletic trainer. That's okay. That's fine because I still get to do what I love. And if Sure. you find your passion and you love it enough, nothing will matter as much as that will to you.
Last question before I give you a chance to thank people to talk about anything else that you want to touch on before we end the show. There's a lot of people out there that look up to UADT, probably looking up to Hannah Justice at any level, whether it's young kids, older dancers, they're looking up to you and what you do. What is your advice to those people?
I would definitely just say that if you want something, just please fight for it as much as you can. And don't let the negativity or whatever you're facing, whether it's, you know, personal or, you know, just anything in life that is giving you trouble, any obstacle that you face, keep your dream at the end of the tunnel and keep that focus there. Hold the vision and really trust the process of everything that you're going through because I am such a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. I've faced a lot of roadblocks in my life where I didn't really know what I wanted to do or where I wanted to go, but I was led here through my passion for dance. So if you keep that passion, you keep working for it, everything is eventually going to line up for you. I promise you that. One of our team mottos this year is the harder you work, the luckier you'll get. And I really believe that, you know, the more work you put in, the better outcome you're going to see. And we're really holding that vision for nationals this year. We're working super hard. And I would just tell anyone that's listening, or, you know, any little girls at my studio, you know, I miss them all so much. Any girl that is looking up to me, just keep fighting for whatever you want, because there are so many things that I never thought I was going to be able to accomplish or be capable of. And I did, just through, you know, with hard work and the support of everyone else. Find a good support system. Find the people that make you happy, and find the people that are going to lift you up. Don't stay with someone if they drag you down. Don't let anybody hold you back. You got to just break free from that. Be your own person and make your dreams come true.
Absolutely. Hannah, before we close out, anybody in your life, your dance career, at any point that you want to give a special thanks to? I know you mentioned a lot of your different teachers earlier on in the show, but I like to give everybody on this type of show a prime opportunity to thank the people that they want to thank.
Wow. So I know I mentioned their names earlier, but all of my Bourne family, all of my teachers there, all of the amazing parents, all of the amazing kids, just everyone that is a part of that studio there. They shaped me into who I am. And I owe it every single ounce of everything that I am to you. You raised me in a way. You're a second home and a second family to me. I absolutely owe everything to you guys. I want to thank my family, specifically my mom, grandma, and grandpa. They were my rocks and my pillars growing up. They'd wake up early to go to competitions with me. They'd stay in the hotels with me. They'd get up so early when I had to go do my solo at 7 a.m. in the morning. They'd, you know, take me all around the country to go and compete, drive me to and from practice, specifically my grandpa. My grandma would make my solo costumes from scratch, and they were absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. And my mom, most of all, she would never, ever put any ounce of pressure on me, ever. She would just say, go out there and do whatever you need to do. Do the best you can, and I'll always be proud. And having someone that was like that in my life absolutely shapes me into the person I am. I wouldn't be who I am without my mom. So I love you, Mom. I know you'll be listening to this. Special thanks to my family. And special thanks to my friends, all of my amazing friends here at the university, not just on dance team, but everyone that I've met in exercise science as well. Shout out you guys. You guys are awesome. And dance team, specifically Coco, Mariah, Ainsley, Carly, Grace. Oh my goodness. You guys are my rocks and my pillars in the dance world. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be who I am. And I feel the most myself and the most comfortable when I'm around you guys. And I'm so thankful that I get to spend literally every single day with you. Love you guys so much. Thanks for inspiring me and being so awesome. And lastly, my coaches, Kristen Dauber, Kelly Burke, and Lauren Hesley. Thank you for just being so attentive to my dance needs. Thanks for making me better and always supporting me. And, you know, when I'm having a bad day, asking me about it, you know, not just making it about dance, but also making it about being human and life, and teaching me all these good life lessons that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life. Thank you so much. Love you guys.
Hannah, thank you so much again for taking the time to be up here today.
Absolutely.
And this is such an empowering episode. It's honestly, I've been here at WZIP for 4 years. I'm getting ready to graduate, and this is easily my favorite interview that I've done, not once, but twice now. So I really appreciate it. I really hope this hits home to a lot of people, as we really stress to bring attention to competitive dance and have people consider it a sport, because I really do think what you guys do is very, very impressive and deserves way more recognition than what it gets.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad I came back and did this. I've been wanting this to come out for so long. So I'm just happy to be back, and I hope you guys like the episode.
100%. And this has been another episode of Sports Power Talk Overtime right here on WZIP. Once again, joining me was
Hannah Justice.
And I am Logan Congrove. And we will see you next time. And make sure to support UADT as they prepare for NDA Nationals. We will be covering them on our station, on our airwaves, on our show. So be sure to look out for that. Hannah, thank you so much again.
Thank you.